Alrighty, folks, welcome back. Friday edition of JJ After Dark. John Jastrzemski with you right here on the Fan 877-337-6666. The excitement level for this 2018 season is off the charts. Yankees, Mets, it'll be here before you know it. This guy, one of the best in the business. You see him on MLB Network, co-hosting with Kevin Millar on Intentional Talk. You see him throughout the year on the NFL Network, our good pal, Chris Rose. Nice enough to join us here on The Fan. What's up, Chris? How are you?
It's all good. How are you?
Chris, we're doing well, man. And you got quite the job. Who is the crazier character? Is it Deion Sanders on a football Sunday, or is it dealing with the cowboy Kevin Millar day in and day out?
Well, see, Deion's not crazy. He's just passionate about what he does and what he talks about and all that. Hashtag truth on that for Deion. But for Millar, he's not crazy because that's who he is. Like, everybody always says, really, like, when the camera's not on, what's he like? Because he can't be like that. I'm like, yes, he is. I always explain it this way, that he's got four kids, but his wife has got five because he falls into that category. He loves life. He's going a gazillion miles an hour. There's never a time where he's just sitting down and chilling. Like, he's never going to be the guy who's going to meditate for 12 minutes a day. That just ain't him. And I love working with both of them, so I'm pretty lucky.
Well, to be honest with you, Chris, that sounds like the guy who's hosting his radio show, because people ask me the same question. They're like, you're crazy, out of your mind. Do you like this when you're not on the air? And I'm like, yeah, I am. I'm the same guy yelling and screaming when these games are on, whether it's my Dolphins, my Yankees, what have you. And, Chris, that's where I want to begin, because last year – there were not a lot of expectations for the 2017 New York Yankees. We didn't know what to expect. We didn't know what these young kids were going to look like. Then they make it to Game 7 of the American League Championship Series. You're doing a national baseball show with Kevin Millar. Do you guys get the sense from talking to people across the country that the big, bad New York Yankees are back here in 2018?
They are. Here's the one thing. I mean, expectations are off the charts, right? I mean, anything short of a World Series appearance will be a disappointment. And I get that. When you make it one step shy of the World Series, Game 7 of the ALCS, that's what you should expect, is to get there. They don't have the same personalities they had when they were going on their run from the mid-90s, you know, through 2009 when they last appeared in the Fall Classic, right? They just didn't have those polarizing figures. These guys are great. They're great guys. It was funny, though, and I've known CeCe Sabathia forever. But for him to say, hey, you know, we've basically got the black cowboy hat on again and everybody hates us, they might hate the Yankees because they're good, but they don't hate these Yankee players. Like, what's there to hate about Aaron Judge? Because he should be playing defensive end for the Jets or Giants? And, you know, he's hitting a baseball instead? Like, he's a sweetheart of a guy. Stanton, same way. Didi Gregorius, one of the best guys in baseball. CeCe, same sort of thing. So there's not the edge of when A-Rod was there and then Giambi came over and, you know, when Paul O'Neill was there, you know, punching Gatorade coolers and throwing his helmet down. There's not that. So you can hate him for being good, but there's not the edge.
Chris, I'm with you there 100%. And being here doing shows, coming on after the games, there was this enthusiasm. There was this level of passion, even in New York City, where we live, we breathe, we sleep baseball. But the Yankee fan was back in a way I haven't seen him back in that new stadium. And that includes 2009, because I was there for that wild card game. It was shaken in a way the new Yankee Stadium hasn't shook before. I mean, the passion, the Astros series, coming back against Cleveland. I think that the enthusiasm level for this team is off the charts. And I'm just wondering how they're going to be able to handle that set of expectations. Because you just hit on it. It's World Series or bust for the Yankees here in 2018. They don't get to the World Series. And I get it. Houston's really good. Cleveland's really good. Boston's really good. I think there are going to be a lot of disappointed folks walking around New York City.
Yeah, it's possible, but this is such a funny sport because, first of all, there really isn't a home field advantage. Some people argue and yell at me that, you know, maybe old Yankee Stadium with the ghosts and all that sort of stuff. That's okay, fine, I'll listen there. But for the most part in this sport, there just isn't. I mean, the last two World Series Game 7s have been won by the road team. And actually the last three, right? Because in 2014, the Giants won in Game 7 of their World Series, too, in Kansas City. So it just isn't what it once was for whatever reason. And then when you get to the playoffs, it's matchups. I'm a Cleveland fan. And as well as the Indians had played the last 6 weeks of the season, I kept saying, gosh, don't give me the Yankees because I just don't like the matchup. And even though the Indians jumped out to that 2-0 lead, I was never comfortable because of the matchup overall. And that's what it comes down to. So it's weird because the season's so long, but we're not going to judge a team like the Yankees until October. It's just the way it is.
Chris, you mentioned your relationship with CC Sabathia, and I think his turnaround, and he had a great run with the Yankees. Mm-hmm. He was worth his weight in gold. 2009 on, he was the LCS MVP. He was money in the 2012 postseason. But a lot of us around town, we wondered, 2013, 2014, if this guy was finished. We know about the off-field adversity, but to see CC come back, pitch in 2016, he was great. A lot of people lost sight of that because the Yankees were out of the mix. CC was terrific. 2017, they don't get past the Cleveland Indians in that fifth game if it wasn't for the way that he pitched. Did you see CC picking up his career and really becoming yet again a focal point in a rotation and kind of reinventing himself the way that he did?
Yeah, I was actually with Pedro Martinez getting ready to do a show early in maybe 2 years ago, something like that, an intentional talk show at Yankee Stadium. And I remember CC walking up to him and asking Pedro about making adjustments when you get older. And it was real. It was fascinating. I kind of left the conversation because I didn't want to. I thought it was one for just those two to have. But, you know, he was still trying to find it, still trying to figure it out. And it's hard when you come up throwing 98, 99, could just, you know, blow it past guys, to a guy who's throwing 89 or 90 and having to try and figure it out. And he did it. I think he was rejuvenated by the youth there, that he was kind of like, you know, the Obi-Wan Kenobi, if you will, of this place. And then he was fantastic over the last several months, and he figured it out. And he did the old Jamie Moyer that it's slow, slower, slowest. And I expect him to be a really solid pitcher for them this year.
Spend a couple minutes with Chris Rose, the host of Intentional Talk on MLB Network. Check him out throughout the football season on NFL Network as well. And Chris, you mentioned your background and your love of Cleveland sports and the Indians. Talk about a team that's been right there each of the last 2 years. I mean, Tito Francona, as good a manager as you're going to find in baseball. They make it to Game 7 against the Cubbies. Last year, the unbelievable winning streak. What hurts more? Is it the World Series because they're one win away? But I thought that World Series year, and you can correct me if I'm wrong because you're an Indian fan, so you live it, you breathe it, it's your team. That year was like a feel-good ride. They were underdogs throughout. I didn't look at them as a team that was good enough to win the World Series, but I guess, hey, you're one win away. I mean, you might as well win the damn thing. But in 2017, you have that winning streak. You're the best team in the American League. I thought Cleveland was going to win the whole thing this year or a year ago. Which one hurts more to you?
I thought last year actually hurt a little bit more because we played in the last game of the baseball season in 2016. And also, people who were trying to compare what happened with the Cavs and Warriors to what happened with the Indians and Cubs don't understand the sport. You can be up 3-1 and still not have a hold on a series because it's all about your starting pitching. And the next two games, the Indians were underdogs when it came to starting pitching. It was Lester, it was Lester against Bauer in Game 5. It was Arrieta against Tomlin in Game 6. And then you get to Game 7, and Kluber's running on fumes at that point. I mean, pitching three times in 8 days ain't easy. And it's a coin flip. And he was going against Hendricks, who had the lowest ERA in the NL that year. So I won't ever look at that as, I hate the word choke in sports, and that was the furthest thing from it. And it was an amazing ride. I actually brought my family out. You know, we live in L.A., but my boys are huge Cleveland sports fans. And I promised my oldest one, who turned 16 on the day of Game 6 of the World Series, I said, I will take you out of school. I'll fly you and your mom across the country. We were there for the blowout in Game 6 and then Game 7. And Rajay Davis with the homer and all sorts of stuff. And the joint was just jumping. So we end up losing, and we're walking out of the stadium, and we're all kind of crushed. And my youngest son, who at the time was 10, looks at me and he goes, "Dad, it sucks we lost, but at least we were all here together." And I was like, "Oh my God,
that's awesome!"
Make me cry in the middle of the street in downtown Cleveland. And listen, that was pretty amazing. So it's a long-winded answer to last year was tough because of the 2-0 lead, and I just felt like that team had very, very few soft spots in it.
You get the sense Indians, Yankees, Astros, Red Sox, in some order, by far and away the four best teams in the American League. I know baseball's wacky, Chris, and strange things can happen.
But
those teams I expect to see in October. I expect them all to be there. Yeah. I really do.
Barring a major injury somewhere. And, you know, I mean, the Indians have the – well, actually, I think the Astros might have the
No, I think it's the Indians, Chris. I mean, look at those three teams in the Central. The Tigers, the Royals, and the White Sox. I mean, they're all going to be awful this year.
They are going to be awful. You're right. There's a lot of wins there. But Minnesota is pretty scrappy. They're good. I like the way they're constructed. If they make a free agent signing with either a Lance Lynn or an Alex Cobb, they'll be right in this thing, no question. There's a lot of dog teams, though, in the AL West still trying to find their way, too.
Yeah, that's totally fair. And, Chris, being around Millar, and when I think of Kevin Millar, I think of the Yankees-Sox rivalry at its peak. So I'm too young to remember the late 1970s, but I remember 03 Kareem Garcia. I remember Pedro and Don Zimmer. I unfortunately remember the Red Sox coming all the way back, and I don't know if Schilling was bleeding or if it was ketchup. I mean, that's still, 50-50 maybe, but I know what that Red Sox team did. And those games, it didn't matter in April, in June, in September, in October, in New York, in Boston, across the country, Yankees Sox was must-see theater. It was as good as it gets. I don't expect this rivalry to be as good because nothing will be as good. But do you do get the sense around Millar, just talking baseball, that the Yankees Sox rivalry can get back to what it was?
Well, it's funny because we asked that question on Intentional Talk this week right after J.D. Martinez signed with the Red Sox. And I personally feel there's only two ways that it can get back to what it was when he was playing. First and foremost, they got to meet in a playoff series. The 19 times they're going to meet, great. There could be a few games where you're like, gosh, that was awesome. Great walk-off win by one of the squads. But you need to have a baseball life and death situation in order for it to really mean something again. And, you know, the only other way, number two, is if there's a Manny Machado-type incident like there was with Boston last year, right, where it carries over from one city to the next and there's some headhunting and there's guys jawing back and forth and there's all sorts of issues. If it ever – I hate to say that, but if it ever comes to that where a Mookie Betts or a Giancarlo Stanton or somebody starts getting plunked, then it'll be amped up a little bit. Will there be more interest because of the guys that are in that Yankee lineup? Absolutely. But like I said, either it's playoffs or something weird happens.
Chris Rose, host of Intentional Talk. And Chris, it's amazing on the other side of town. The Met fan thought this city was about to be theirs. I mean, they made the World Series in 15. They got all these stud pitchers. DeGrom, who I love. Syndergaard, who I love. Harvey, the dark night of New York. Now you look at the Mets. They're coming off a year where they lost 90 games. They have two givens to me in this rotation. DeGrom, Syndergaard. The rest of these guys, we have no idea what to expect. What is the sense you get around baseball for what people are viewing and judging this Met team to be? Because to me, there's all sorts of uncertainty. They made a couple of moves here in the offseason. I think they're better, but I don't look at them in the same way, in the same class as like a Cub or a Washington Nationals team.
No.
I mean, I think they're a wild card contender at best. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And a lot of things have to go right for them to contend with the Nationals. First and foremost, I'm a huge Mickey Callaway fan. Day one of him, as far as managing games, what does he have to do? He has to scratch Dominic Smith out of the lineup because the guy shows up late. And he's put his foot down. He's already putting his imprint on this team. And he said some eyebrow-raising things. He's a smart guy who's got a little swagger to him that understands they're distant second in that city. And he's going to make sure that they do things his way And he, you know, a lot of pitching coaches, for whatever reason, can't make it in the dugout. I really believe he's one of the guys that will, because he just communicates so effectively. And he spent the last several years working under Terry Francona, who's the best at managing people in this business. So I think that they will contend for wild card. I like the moves of Bruce, Frazier, and Swarzak. And I don't think they're going anywhere. I think they'll be okay.
Chris, before we let you go, I know you missed the Cleveland. New York City has draft fever because you got the Giants picking at 2. You got the Jets picking at 6. You got my Dolphins who are in the mix, and I'd love to see Baker Mayfield or Josh Rosen end up down in Miami. But I'm going to ask you, because your Brownies, they pick 1, they pick 4, they need a quarterback in the absolute worst way. Who does Chris Rose want under center starting at quarterback for the Cleveland Browns week 1 in 2018?
A veteran.
Okay, so you would like to see like a Kirk Cousins or an A.J. McCarron.
Well, see, I'm not the McCarron guy.
Okay.
I need a guy if they're not going to pay for Kirk Cousins, and they're going to have to pay infinitely more than anybody else would to get him to go there. And even that, I'm not so sure would get it done. You have to get a veteran. That's why I thought Alex Smith was the perfect guy for them. So instead, I think Case Keenum would be okay. I'd sign him to a 3-year deal. I'd front load it. And as long as he can understand, and he would, that he's keeping it warm, maybe even for a full season. I mean, because if you draft a Sam Darnold, what's the point of playing him right away? He's really young. He's not even 21 till June. We saw what happened with Kaiser. You know, he turned 21, I think, early in the season, and his head was spinning. But I finally believe in the guys that they have rebuilding this organization. John Dorsey's one of the best talent evaluators around. Alonzo Highsmith as well, the former running back. Those guys can get it done, and they've got all the ammunition in the world. 5 of the top 65 picks.
And if you're drafting a guy, Chris Rose, Sam Darnold's your guy?
He's probably the safest. You know, I actually spoke to an NFL coach at the Super Bowl who said, you guys should take Baker Mayfield. And I was like, really? And he said, he's not only got all the swagger, guys love him, he's the best of the four. And I said, but he's 6 feet tall. And I said, you know, I get it. Breeze and Russell Wilson and who else? You know, like those are special, special people. And the guy said, he's special. And I was like, oh, gosh. You guys might be hearing that name be called up there, too. Could you imagine that?
Oh, that would be too much fun. I'm hoping for it. I don't want him in a Jet uniform, though, Chris, because I root for the Miami Dolphins, and I'm a big Baker Mayfield guy, so the idea of seeing him go up against my team twice a year doesn't sit well with me. But for what I do for a living, yeah, that would be as good as it gets, my friend, as good as it gets. Listen, you're the best. I love the show. I watch you all the time. You're welcome on this radio show anytime. We'd love to have you, Chris. Keep up the good work, all right?
My pleasure, and you got it. I'll come on whenever you want. Thank you.
There you go.